Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of Pit Panther Rants and Other Sports Rants podcast is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. It's your intersection of sports, what not sports. We're here to help you love your team and hate your rival. And you can check us out at www.sportsdrink.org or go to our Instagram at @sportsdrink. That's sports drink without the vowels. Check us out. Leave the door open as we're trying to let some of the funk out. Welcome into another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. And let's do a word from our sponsor.
Back is Daniels. Throws the pass.
Intercepted! On a tip! Running with the football! And it's MJ Devonshire still on his feet! He's at the 5! He's into the end zone! For a Panther touchdown! You have to be here!
Let's go!
Tip drill, baby! MJ Devonshire! I mean, Johnny on the spot, that's an easy throwing catch. Was that Ford Wheaton intended? He's been great all night! And someone put butter on that ball, Billy, but not for Devonshire.
Someone put butter on that ball, Billy, but not for Devonshire. Gotta love that from Pat Bostic. I mean, that was really cool. I like that. Although when they did the whole Pit Live Wire, they didn't put that in there, and I was kind of bummed by that. I mean, I enjoyed the whole video and stuff like that, you know, but I was pretty bummed that they did not, you know, I was bummed that they didn't put that soundbite from Pat Bostic in. That was, you know, that was one of my favorite things. Not much else really to talk about the brawl. I'm hearing that Ronnie Hammond might be hurt for the Tennessee game. I'm hearing rumors of that. You know, not 100% sure, but other than that, Pitt seems to be fine as far as the, you know, the injury protocols are concerned. West Virginia is obviously not happy about the officiating, and I'm not really sure what's to be, I mean, to be mad about. I mean, it was pretty, the game itself for the most part, I mean, each team had just one turnover. I mean, there was really nothing really bad about the game for the, you know. But, crowd was mostly Pitt, of course. Penarduzzi was letting they let ESPN know about it. But other than that, I have really nothing more else to talk about the brawl. I mean, I talked about him, I think, on Friday, I believe. I'm also gonna get Grubbs on. Coach Grubbs, I'm gonna get him on. He's in the process of taking care of some things. I had him on before the summer, you know, started, basically, but he was on 2 podcasts. I want to catch up with him. I know he crossed paths with Jamie Dixon. Would love to hear about, you know, some, hopefully, not sure what we'll have to say about that, but I'd like to, you know, hear about that. I don't think Jamie's coming back to Pitt, but, you know, to see him there is a good sign as well. So maybe Pitt's, you know, maybe, you know, it'd be nice if they would honor Jamie. Excuse me, I'm getting advertisements from ESPN. I'm checking the games from the ACC Top 25 like I usually do. And, of course, ESPN decides to play the videos for their advertisements. Now, Kenny Pickett went from the 3rd on the depth chart to 2. And I guess Steelers claimed it was a mistake. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I mean, I think life's too short to get mad over the depth chart. I mean, Mitch is obviously going to be the starter, but that's just that. I guess Pitt didn't change much in terms of the polls. I mean, they, the AP, I believe they're 17. and then the coaches are 14, which, you know, they got a lot of ACC votes. I mean, not an ACC. They got a lot of the SEC coaches. The SEC media people seem to like Pitt. And if anything, what I feel what's going to happen is they're probably just doing that. So if Tennessee beats Pitt, they have an excuse to put Tennessee in the top 10 next week. Because, you know, Florida beat Utah, and all of a sudden, you know, Florida's in the top 15. I don't know. But I'm scrolling through Twitter right now to see if there's anything else going on. Well, Pat McAfee's joining game day full-time, supposedly. Brian Kelly tried to, I guess, wants to fine reporters $10. And, you know, Brian needs to realize that he's down in SEC land. So you can't get away with some of the things that you're saying. As you know, a reporter responded, you know, if you win, maybe we'll be on time. You know, yeah, it's Brian's going to realize it's, down in Baton Rouge, it's a little different than South Bend. I mean, yeah, it's a different, it's a lot different there. So I hope that, that works out for him. Well, not really. I mean, we don't really like Brian Kelly, do we? No, we don't. So we really don't hope. But let's, while that was happening, we had Coach O, who talked about his bio. Let's check this soundbite out.
Oh, grateful of my time, LSU. That was my opportunity. You know, coaches got a shelf. Some coaches got 50 years. Some coaches got 12. Mine was 6. Good. I got to tell you, we had a meeting. Said, Coach, things are not going well. No shit. Ray Charles can see that, brother. And they were good. And Scott Woodward is a friend of mine today. Really, really, a lot of respect for the way they handled me.
So and what's next?
Well, I got to tell you this, though. Say, Coach, you got $17.1 million on your contract. We're going to give it to you. I said, what time you want me to leave? What door you want me out of, brother?
I mean, that was a nice soundbite there from Ed Orgeron. If they told me that much money left my contract or whatever, they would fire me, shoot, I would say the same thing. When do you want me to go and what door you want me out of? And let's take a look at some other stuff here. Nothing else really going on. Let's take a look at this. What happened in the ACC land over the weekend. Let's see. Thursday, we had the brawl, obviously. Wake Forest defeated VMI 44-10. Quarterback Sam Hartman has been cleared to come back, return to the team. And good for him. They got to the ACC title game last year where they lost to Pitt. You know, yours truly. So that's good for them because that helps their ranking and, of course, everything else that comes with it. But good for them. Just as long as, I wouldn't mind facing them again in the title game if we get there because we can beat Sam Hartman. I mean, you know, we can kick the crap out of him. Friday, we had 2 ACC games. We had Virginia Tech losing to Old Dominion. Yeah, Old Dominion's a team you don't want to schedule out of conference. In fact, there's a whole bunch of teams we can go through that you just don't schedule out of conference. We'll get to those in a minute. But, Virginia Tech is breaking in a new coach, Brent Pry. And sometimes when you hire coordinators, you know, assistants, as we call them, when they make the transition from coordinator or assistant to head coach, you're going to have some issues with preparation, and sometimes it's just not organized. I mean, we saw that with Paul Chris. Remember, we hired him, And it just seemed like the team was never really prepared, and it just the staff just didn't seem proactive. And I mean, stuff had to really blow up for them to actually act on it. I mean, and you could tell the team wasn't prepared. They would just make these mistakes. I mean, the Houston game was pretty much wrapped up. That whole coaching staff. It summed up the staff. That was what I'm trying to say. Because, I mean, we were dominating that game and we just found a way to lose it. And it was just like, it was pretty much what it was like with, It was, Paul Christ in a nutshell. And Virginia Tech, their quarterback actually threw four picks in this game. And, I wonder why Clemson was so highly guarded with their quarterback. And because, he's been there for a year. It's like, you should be able to trust him. Well, Grant Wells of Virginia Tech, he threw four picks in that game. That's pretty much a good reason. I mean, they statistically, it looks like they dominated this game. But they just kept them in it. Duke beat Temple 30-0. I'm not sure how Duke's going to be. Temple, the Matt Rhule era has been long gone, and I think Temple may end up going back to the same Temple we've always known, the same Temple we kicked out of the Big East. I mean, they were just a football-only member, and they really added nothing. I mean, if you're going to add a football-only member, they should at least add something, and they didn't. They really didn't. I mean, all they added was the Philly market, and really, and of course, they played at the Link, I think. They just really didn't add a whole much of anything else. And I think they're building an on-campus thing, supposedly. Okay, it looks like they signed a 5-year extension with Lincoln. I thought maybe the Eagles were going to kick him out, say, hey, you guys are tearing for turf. And you guys don't add anything of substance, get out of here. I'm not sure if that was the thing or not. But let's see, Saturday's games. NC State beats East Carolina 21-20. East Carolina almost won this game. They missed a extra point. I guess that would have sent the game to overtime. Miami beats Bethune-Cookman 70-13. Rutgers beats Boston College 22-21. I thought Boston College was winning this game, and somehow Rutgers came back to win it. I think Boston College is basically, their offense is probably just Zay Flowers, and that's it. Jerkovic threw two picks. And, Rutgers basically is breaking in a new team. I mean, the young team, and Boston College dominates statistically, but they just found a way to lose the game. North Carolina defeated Appalachian State 63-61. Mack Brown was doing a dance in the locker room after the game. I'm not exactly sure why you would be doing a dance after your team just gave up 61 points. I mean, if this was Pat Narduzzi and his team gave up 61, Pat would probably punch a water cooler. But to be fair, I mean, I forget about the Syracuse game when that went to overtime. I think Pat actually jumped on the pile because they won. Virginia beats Richmond 34-17. Syracuse defeats Louisville 31-7. I had Louisville beating Pitt this year is one of my predictions, because I felt that it's just a game that Pitt would lose. One of those games when they're caught napping. But Syracuse did an overhaul of their staff. They hired the offensive coordinator and the QB coach from Virginia that was under Bronco Mendenhall's staff. Dino Babers redoing the offense. And I know Syracuse can somewhat play defense, but offense has always been their issue. But whatever it is, it worked. They kicked the crap out of Louisville. I mean, Louisville really hasn't been the same. If you think about it, I mean, this past decade, Louisville had Teddy Bridgewater and Lamar Jackson. They had two first-round picks for quarterbacks. I mean, it's hard. They've been spoiled with really good NFL, you know, some good NFL talent, especially a quarterback. I had high hopes for Mikel Cunningham. Obviously, it's, you know, he's not going to be, he's definitely not Lamar Jackson. But does Louisville go and get Jeff Brohm? I mean, possibility. They'll give him the money. I mean, if you're coaching college football, do you go Louisville or Purdue? I think given the recent TV contract the Big Ten got, I would probably stay with Purdue because you're going to get paid. But maybe you stick with Louisville because you can recruit the South a little bit. I don't know. And, of course, Sunday night we have Florida State LSU. Now, Florida State took Brian Kelly and Notre Dame in overtime last year, and they ended up finishing 5-7. So I really wouldn't read too much into this game. If it wasn't for the block extra point, this game would have went to overtime, and LSU probably would have won it because Florida State pretty much was letting it slip away. Clemson knocked off Georgia Tech 41-10. That's pretty much what's happened in the ACC. Now, the top 25. Let's see, on Thursday, Oklahoma State beat Central Michigan 58-44. Sounds like a close game, but it looks like the game was over at halftime. Let's see, what anything else of substance? Notre Dame lost to Ohio State 21-10. That was a top 10 matchup. Notre Dame played its ass off on defense, but Marcus Freeman's got to figure something with that offense because if they don't have a vertical attack, they're not gonna have a good year. Although this may, you know, obviously not gonna be they're not gonna be playoff contenders this year, but down the road, you know, if he keeps the defense stout, he may, you know, gets the offense going, things may look up for Notre Dame. Georgia and Oregon played. I had Utah winning the Pac-12, which they still might. I had high hopes for this game, but when I saw Bo Nix was the QB for Oregon, I pretty much figured this game was going to be a wash because I watched Bo Nix at Auburn, and I just didn't think he was good at all. And because I mean, I watched him when they played Penn State, and he just looked disastrous. And yeah, he was disastrous for the most part. Yeah, this game, you know, they couldn't match up. Not, you know, game was over at halftime. It's probably over in the first quarter. Florida beat Utah 29-26. Utah was in the top 10, which, you know, Florida now is all of a sudden, you know, in the top 15, which is kind of odd, but whatever. And looking around, USC beat Rice 66-14. Jordan Addison had two touchdowns in this game. Of note, but I mean, it's Rice. Rice isn't really good. In fact, they're really bad. Arkansas beat Cincinnati 31-24, which means we won't see Cincinnati in the playoff this year. So that's over and done with. Houston beat UTSA 37-35, 24th ranked Houston. I watched this game, and yeah, Houston's defense is pretty bad for the most part. And that's really about it for the top 25. Now, going back to what I'm talking about, teams you shouldn't schedule. If you're doing out of conference, Old Dominion's one team you don't schedule because they're always going to give you a hard time. East Carolina, you definitely don't schedule. Appalachian State, you definitely don't schedule. I mean, those are three teams. I mean, you don't want to, if you're scheduling out of conference, you don't want to schedule. Virginia beat Richmond. That's another team, although they're FCS. They've beaten, you know, FBS teams in the past. They've beat Virginia in the past. So yeah, those are some examples. Western Michigan is another team you don't want to schedule. In fact, almost everybody from the MAC you shouldn't schedule. I mean, we're talking, well, Eastern Michigan you could probably schedule them. But Akron, Ohio, Miami of Ohio, Central Michigan, Western Michigan. Yeah, those are teams you just don't really want to schedule out of conference. Probably most of the Sun Belt, with where Old Dominion's at, with Marshall and company, you probably don't want to, you know, schedule. Yeah, Coastal Carolina, you definitely don't want to schedule. I mean, you know, Army, you know, you can schedule them. I mean, Navy, I would, from the AAC, I would avoid. I'm forgetting about the AAC at this point, because there's some teams right now you currently shouldn't schedule. Let's see, the AAC, the American, as they call it. Yeah, UCF, you don't want to schedule. We've already talked East Carolina, Cincinnati, Houston, although most of those teams are leaving for the Big 12. South Florida used a team you shouldn't schedule. That was before, you know, that's when they were Conference USA. If you remember in 2001, Pitt scheduled them, and Markell Blackwell pretty much picked us apart. Of course, there's Tulsa, Tulane, Memphis, SMU. I mean, yep. And let's not forget Pitt lost to Youngstown State. That was the first game of the Paul Chryst era, I believe. Which goes back to what happened there. And it could be what you saw with Brent Pry at Virginia Tech. You could be seeing, you know, what happened with the Paul Chryst era. It could be a preview of what you're seeing with the Brent Pry era. Just disorganization and all kind of other stuff. Anyways, guys, I'll close out here. Hope you guys are having had a great Labor Day weekend. Unfortunately for me, all my kids got hit with COVID, which sucked. I'm not sure if I had it. I may have had it, but if I did, I couldn't tell if I did. I did get vaccinated, although I can still get it, but maybe it's not, you know. I mean, you can still get it, but the symptoms aren't as bad. But I got tested, and then I didn't. Yeah, I was negative. So, you know, it's just. Stay safe, people. That's all I can tell you. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I mean, I made my chili, my bison chili, because I was at the store and I saw they had bison meat on manager special, which means if they have meat that's about to go, you know, by the sell-by date, they'll put on the manager special where they're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to, you know, mark it down to get rid of it. And I found, you know, two packets of bison meat and I was like, oh, cool. I said, bison chili sounds good. Although it's still summer, technically here, but I want some damn chili. But other than that, not much else, guys. You guys have a great one. Hail to Pitt. I'll talk to you guys later this week.